to the GBC Sermon Podcast from Gymea Baptist Church in Sydney, Australia. This message from our Sunday church service is part of the resources we provide as we seek to see lives changed by Jesus. You could also listen to our Big Three podcast, a conversation that unpacks three big questions raised from sermons like this one. You can find more information about Gymea Baptist Church, as well as discipleship resources and an opportunity to join us in person or online on our website, gymeabaptist.org.au.
Good morning, church, and Merry Christmas. My name is Asha, and this is my brother, James. This morning, we are reading about the birth of baby Jesus, as told in Luke's Gospel. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared, with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thank you very much. Good morning. Merry Christmas. It's great to have you with us here this morning. Whether you're visiting with us or count yourself a bit of a regular here, it's fantastic that you've taken some of your day to be with us this morning. Can I just get you to put your hands together to thank all of our volunteers, particularly our sound and tech team. Thank you very much. This is live streamed, our music team, half of which were here last night as well, done a fantastic job. Beck and the team, it's been great. So thank you very much for all of you who have served over the course of this year. Well, our theme, as you've heard, for Christmas this year is Christmas Unboxed, which is taken from the YouTube sensation, or I'm not sure if it's even a sensation, the YouTube oddity might be a better word, where people unbox things, they record themselves doing it, and then the odd part is that other people watch it. You can see people unboxing just about anything. Kids unbox toys and they put them together and they play with them. I actually watched somebody while I was doing some of my research, like unbox and then show me what was in hockey playing card packs, which was weird, a bit of a blast from the past. I don't really know why I was watching it, to tell you the truth, which is why it's a sensation, isn't it? But regardless of why you watch it or whatever the reason why it's so popular, it's kind of this cross between voyeurism, kind of just enjoying to watch people do things, and market research, if you want to know what's in the box. And so I thought we'd take this as a bit of a metaphor for Christmas, to think a little bit about what it means to kind of take the characters and the stories out of the box of Christmas again and reconsider them, to think about them from a different perspective. But as Beck pointed out, there are also other unboxings that we do at Christmas, right? Many of you have probably already unboxed some things this morning. I have three adult children now, so we'll unbox them later, and most of the things that are in the box are already known to those because they bought them and gave them to us to wrap. So it's not nearly as exciting as it used to be, but nonetheless, right? But there's also another unboxing tradition that we have as a family, and you may have one similar. It doesn't take place on Christmas Day. It usually takes place about the beginning of December when we set up our Christmas tree. And out from under the box comes our big red box of Christmas ornaments. And for us as a family, and it might be the same for you, when we unbox those little treasures, things that we kind of have put on the tree year after year after year, we tend to tell the stories of our favorite ornaments. We kind of comment about who bought this or who bought that one, or we laugh at the ornament that we still have. We don't know why, and we hang it on the tree. There are some special ornaments in that box. For instance, there's a little kind of metallic angel that was given to me by my mom and has been on hanging on Raider Christmas trees for, well, a long time. I'll leave it at that. And this is all kind of part of our unboxing, these things that we pick out every year and we retell the stories. Often Christmas lunches kind of come the same way, don't they? As we remember previous Christmases and we tell the same stories again and again and again. And this is actually a bit of a model or a connection with what Mary does here. Just at the very end of that story, you probably heard the phrase before. After the shepherds have seen the angel and heard the angelic choir and have determined to go find the baby, they find them, they're excited about what's taking place, and then we're told that Mary treasured these things, or preserved them is kind of a better sense of the term, and she pondered them in her heart. She treasured these things and she pondered them. To ponder, and I think we've all pondered, even if we've never used the word about what we're doing, is to throw things together. If you've ever made a really big decision, you've inevitably kind of thrown together the advantages of doing something and the disadvantages of doing something and the advice from family and friends and your own experiences or your own research and understanding. You've kind of thought about what you're trying to do. You have pondered it. And Mary both treasures and ponders the events that have taken place around her. And I'd like to take just a little bit of time this morning to encourage us with this example, the example of treasuring and of pondering. Because I actually think there's something quite striking in what Mary has done. This is found in, as you heard, from Luke's gospel. When Asher and James read the reading, they told us it's from his gospel. And Luke is not just kind of creating a bit of a backstory for the wonderful person of Jesus. In Luke chapter 1, he actually opens his entire account with these words. He says that many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us just as they were handed down to us by those who, from the first, were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you. So Luke has kind of done some research. He has gone back and spoken to eyewitnesses. And when you think about the eyewitnesses of these events, there aren't actually very many that Luke could have encountered. It's unlikely that 4 decades after these events, when Luke becomes a follower of Jesus, that he was able to go back to Bethlehem and hunt down some shepherds who may or may not have had a strange experience some 40 years ago. It's even less likely that he spoke to Zechariah or Elizabeth, who are key parts of the early part of this story, because they were elderly when the story begins. It is, in fact, quite likely that these recollections, these eyewitness accounts that Luke refers to, are actually Mary's. That for Luke to write the beginning of the story, he sat down with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and said, "Tell me about those events." He didn't say, "Tell me about the first Christmas," because it wasn't yet Christmas, but "Tell me about this." And it seems to me that when we're told that Mary treasured these things and pondered them, that's not an example of the universal narrator making a comment. It's actually Mary's statement to Luke about what she had done. That she had preserved these things. That these were the things that were most striking to her about the birth of Jesus. That the things that she had preserved, the box of Christmas ornaments that she had kept under her bed and routinely brought out and thought about, were these stories. The stories of her relative Elizabeth and how she fell pregnant late in life, much to her delight. And the angel's words about who that child would be and the angel's visit to Mary herself. And what that meant, and the strange greeting that he gave her, and Elizabeth's greeting, and the songs that were sung, and her own reflections from scripture, and her own understanding of what God was doing about what was taking place, about the shepherds and their stories, and the angels, and all of those things. These are the things that she kept. These are the things that she preserved and that she pondered. And I think there's something really quite striking about what she has treasured. And there's two things I just want to draw your attention to. The first is, you may have heard imaginative speculation about what it would have been like for Mary, a young woman in a small Jewish community, to fall pregnant under mysterious circumstances. You may have heard something like that. People talk about the potential shame or humiliation, the glances to one side, the whispered statements about what she was like, the questions about her integrity and about her character. I think often one of the things that we preserve in our hearts are actually hurts, humiliations, shames, disappointment, hard times, harsh words. That's what we preserve and we bring out and we ponder. I think it's remarkable that Mary doesn't preserve any of that. She didn't treasure the people in her town who should have known her better, and yet nonetheless questioned her character. That's not what she remembers. What she remembers instead, what she preserved, what she treasured, were the things about Jesus, about who he was going to become. Not about the proof of who he was, but the things that were said about who he would become. For those of you who have had children or grandchildren, or who have had a lifelong friend, someone that you grew up with, a cousin, a nephew, a niece, someone that you've watched growing up, you've probably had this experience of treasuring certain memories of when your friend or your daughter was young, really young, and wondering if in their infancy you were actually seeing the character that they would become or whether it was just something they ate. Sometimes you were hoping it was something they ate and not their character, but you were wondering, right? Have you ever had that experience? And over time, as you watch that child or that friend grow up, you can actually go back through your experience of them and pull out all of those kind of treasured, preserved moments, those memories of them, and you can see who they have become, even though you weren't exactly certain earlier in the piece. I didn't know, but I suspected. You did this, or you said that, or I watched you do, or you made this decision, and it all kind of leads to who you have become. Mary has chosen to preserve a number of things that indicate who Jesus would become, but he has not yet become them. And this, I think, is really quite critical for when we come to what she does when she ponders. Christmas is often really busy, right? There's lots on. I don't need to tell you that. There was an article in the Sydney Morning Herald that was entitled, "The Best Gift You Can Give Yourself Is to Be Kind to Yourself. You Made It." And I thought, yeah, that feels about right. It's a hectic time of year. And if you're like me, by the time we get to, well, for us, it's kind of the day after Boxing Day, when all the family things are done and all of the events are out of the way and we can kind of finally get all the recycling put in the recycling bin and kind of clean the place up again, Christmas is largely in the rearview mirror, isn't it? You know, we wait until the new year passes and then we kind of put the tree down, take the tree down and put all the little ornaments back in the box and under the bed we go and we're done thinking about it. I think we can be forgiven if we think that Mary pondered what had taken place on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day and whatever their version of Boxing Day was, right? It was a pretty weird night for this young woman. She'd just given birth in a barn, then had shepherds show up saying that angels had told them about it and that the angels even knew that she had wrapped the baby in swaddling clothes and placed him in a manger. Oh, thank you for that little detail. So heaven is scoping me out. Wonderful, you know? But I think that Mary's pondering took a lot longer than that. There's a couple of hints about it in how Luke tells the story, which again, I think are reflections of Mary's own recollections. The first is that Mary and Joseph include some other stories. Last week in our Sunday service, we actually looked at one of the following stories where Jesus is brought to the temple by his parents as an infant, and they are met by a man named Simeon who takes the child and praises God and then speaks about who this child will become. And Mary and Joseph were said are amazed. Now, there are lots of things that Jesus eventually says and does that are amazing. But wherever we encounter the idea of amazement in the Gospels, it's always seen as a stepping stone to faith. The crowds that surround Jesus are amazed by what he does. They're just overcome with amazement and awe at what Jesus does. And yet that, as a final response, is not adequate. It is one step on the road to faith. And Mary remembers, she has treasured Simeon's encounter with them and the fact that she was amazed. A little bit later on in chapter 2, there's one more story that I think would go back to Mary. And it's when Jesus is 11 years old. Every year, the family would make a journey to Jerusalem for one of the big religious festivals. And on the year that Jesus was 11, they accidentally left him in the city and went home. They thought he was with friends and family. You know what it's like, right? It's hard enough taking care of, you know, one child, let alone two or three in the midst of a whole family gathering. Well, they lose Jesus, the Savior of the world, which is a little bit awkward from a parenting moment. And they finally go back to Jerusalem, and they hunt him around, and they find him in the temple, and they basically accost him about, like, what are you doing to us? Like, it's time to go home. Like, come home. And Jesus' response to them is, why are you looking for me? Didn't you know that I was going to be here in my Father's house? And Mary and Joseph did not understand what he was saying. And again, in the Gospels, Jesus says and does things that are confusing. And those who followed him didn't understand. But it was, again, a stepping stone to faith. And Mary remembers that she was amazed but didn't believe, that she didn't understand and didn't believe. Mary shows up once more in the story in Luke's gospel account, where she and Jesus' siblings come essentially to visit Jesus in the midst of his ministry. He's doing all sorts of stuff and they've come to see him. And other gospel accounts, it suggests that they've actually come to kind of take him home because he's acting a little weird. And when Jesus is told that his mother and brothers and sisters are there to see him, his response is to say, who are my mother and my brothers and my sisters? Looks at those around him and says, those who obey the word of God. Suggesting that even his family didn't quite get who he was. And yet Mary has treasured these things and has pondered them. And has pondered them. And has pondered them. And has pondered them. And when Luke opens his second volume in the book of Acts, Mary is found amongst the believers. A journey that for her may have taken decades of pondering, thinking, of throwing these things together, of comparing what she had heard and bringing out those treasured recollections and memories, of remembering what Simeon had said, what Zechariah had said, remembering her own reaction to what had happened, remembering the words of the angels, throwing them all together, comparing them to what had happened in Jesus' life, thinking about it, reflecting on it, meditating upon it, and finally, what had begun as amazement and wonder and misunderstanding gives birth to faith. And I think in the midst of this, there is for us a good reminder, an excellent model, and an invitation. We are reminded, regardless of how familiar this story is or how many services you've come to at Christmas or the most of your life, the pondering on who Jesus is never ends. We don't get to the end of it and kind of go, yeah, I fully get this story now. Totally makes sense. The pondering continues. And we have in Mary, I think, a wonderful example, a model to follow, of storing things up, of treasuring things up, and then pondering upon them. And again, I want to draw your attention to the fact that Mary ponders these things and treasures these things before she believes these things. We often labor under, I think, a false assumption, and that is that if you want to follow Jesus, you have to believe some stuff, you need to know some stuff, You need to change your life in a bunch of ways. And while those things are part of the journey, that's not how it begins. Mary is another example of what we find in one of my favorite passages in Scripture, which is when Jesus calls his first disciples. They're fishermen. He just sees them, he says, "Follow me." And they drop their nets and follow him. And again, we can assume that they were some sort of really godly, super switched on, obviously spiritual. As soon as they had the opportunity, off they went. This doesn't really match the characteristic of most fishermen, as far as I understand. But in reality, if you read the rest of the story, what you learn is that the disciples who followed Jesus did not believe that he was the Messiah or the Son of God until very late in the piece. That they didn't understand the things that Jesus was talking about, even though he was talking about stuff they should have understood. And they didn't really have to radically change their life until much later in the piece. The only prerequisite for beginning to follow Jesus is that you want to begin to follow Jesus. You do not have to believe, you do not have to know, you do not have to change. Mary does the exact same thing. She takes these remarkable experiences, pulls them together, keeps them, retains them, and then ponders them and thinks on them and allows the seed of faith to grow. And there's the invitation. There's the invitation for each and every one of us. Because this story, if it is true, is remarkable, isn't it? It's not remarkable because a baby was born in strange conditions. It's remarkable because of who this child is said to be, the Savior of the world, the one who will bring light into darkness, the one who is going to completely reverse the way everything works and restore everything in the plans and purposes of God. This story, if it is true, matters. So here's the invitation. Take something from this story. Imagine that it's filled with ornaments. Take one, take two, take three that really stand out to you as being significant or things that you would love to be true in your life. And treasure those and ponder them. Now, fair warning, if you begin to follow Jesus, if you begin to explore who he is, the time will come when you will be forced to figure out what you believe about him. You will learn some things about him that will have some implications for how you live your life. That will come, but it's not necessary to begin. If you'd like to begin to follow Jesus and learn more about him in a community of faith, we'd love for you to do that here. You can join us online or you can join us on site. Locally, if you live locally, it's easier to be here on site, but we'd love for you to be a part of what we do together as we continue to reflect on who Jesus is and on the hope and the peace, and the love, and the joy of the Christmas season. So there's your opportunity, there's your invitation. Don't try to ponder today, it's probably far too busy. Tomorrow, also a bit of a write-off. But at some point, begin to ponder the significance of this story, this person, the person of Jesus. Speaking of joy, we're gonna finish our service by singing Joy to the World. So I'm gonna invite the team back up. And as they join me, can I invite you to pray with me as we close? Heavenly Father, thank you for the season of Christmas. While it's a busy time and not always the easiest, we delight in the fact that there's a little bit of rest around the corner and an opportunity to catch up with friends and families, to express our love for those whom we care deeply for, and an opportunity to hear again the story of hope in the person of Jesus. I pray for each one of us that as we consider this story again, that you might draw our hearts to a particular aspect of it, a character, a saying, a song that speaks to our lives, that we might treasure that and ponder it, and that for each one of us, we might continue to ponder, to think, to meditate, reflect. And I pray that for each one of us, that our amazement, our misunderstanding might eventually grow to become faith. For I ask it in Jesus' name, amen.
We
hope this message has challenged and strengthened you, encouraged you to pray and rely on God, and blessed you today. If you'd like to get to know some of our church community, you can listen to the We Are the Church podcast, an open conversation with real people who call GBC home as they share stories of God at work in their lives and how their lives are being changed by Jesus.